Toby Brown, a good friend and previous speaker here at Law Biz Podcast, is a former director of the Utah State Bar and currently director of strategic pricing and analytics for Atkin Gump, a top 50 Am Law law firm. Toby is at the forefront of developing alternative fees, helping his firm set prices, so that the client and the law firm are mutually benefited and act as partners. Toby has a great combination of executive-level skills in the areas of technology, law, and economics. If you've not listened to it already, make sure you listen to our first interview with Toby Brown on pricing practices for attorneys recorded on September 24th, 2013, about pricing and costing required by lawyers in today's competitive environment. Also, check out Toby's new book, Law Firm Pricing, Strategies, Rules, and Responsibilities. The publisher will provide all listeners of our podcast with a $50 discount by mentioning the code printed on this website. Also, check out the pricing discussion in Ed's new book, Attorney and Law Firm Guide to the Business of Law, 3rd edition, released by the American Bar Association in March of 2014. Check out www.lawbizstore.com for more information.
Toby, thanks for joining us today. It's, you know, always a pleasure for me to have a conversation with you. You're one of my favorite people. Our topic today is talking about pricing of legal services. So again, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I always enjoy our conversations as well.
One of the things that I remember coming out of law school was that the bar associations always had a suggested fee schedule. So new folks like me knew where to start. I mean, you know, if the price per hour was $100 as a standard, you didn't come in at 50 and you didn't come in at 300. You didn't look like a total yo-yo. But, of course, the Supreme Court made that illegal. So how is it today that lawyers, experienced or not experienced, are able to understand what the marketplace suggests, so to speak, and what clients are likely to accept, because that's the marketplace. They can't go any lower than that. What is a technique for a lawyer in today's world?
Well, you've just pushed my economist button, which means the economist in me is about to come out. The answer is that lawyers are struggling with that issue a lot. You know, the economist in me will say, you know, back to your point about the, you know, back in the day we had the schedules. Now there is a market pricing mechanism for billing rates generally. You know, if you're looking at a top tier firm, you know, a seventh year associate doing litigation, there is a market for what kind of rate a timekeeper like that might be able to command in the market. What the market is struggling for is to start understanding or, you know, coming up with some sort of mechanism that would say a single plaintiff employment litigation should cost X dollars, and that doesn't exist.
And so you're talking about a single plan, quote unquote, for litigation, but we're still basically, at least the bulk of the profession, I believe, is still basically on the hourly rate, are we not?
True, but even then clients are wanting, even if they're not asking for some sort of alternative fee, they're saying, I'd like a budget. I was just in an email exchange about an hour ago where we were trying to set a budget for a transaction, and it's always a struggle to say, you know, what do we think this, you know, will cost us, you know, our cost of it,
right.
What do we think the client's willing to pay, you know, what is a reasonable budget, and that goes back to that, you know, there's not really a pricing mechanism in the market, so there is a general struggle right now, and I would say it's both on the law firm and the client side about, you know, how do we come up with a price?
Well, there's a struggle in order to come up with a mechanism, but that mechanism to some degree relies on market intelligence, does it not? And if I'm correct, how do we get that market intelligence? I mean, I suppose that question has to be bifurcated, because on the one hand, you're talking about the top-tier firms, your firm, Skadden Arps, others, and so forth. And then there are the rest of us, the rest of the profession, 60% or more of which is made up of solo and small firm practitioners. Where's the intelligence to get that information?
Well, we'll bifurcate there. At the at the big law side of things, there are companies emerging, or existing companies that are releasing emerging products, where they're trying to create some, I'll call it, market standards for pricing different things. One such is Timetrics, and Timetrics is an e-billing company.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done now is they've taken all of the billing data that's been run through their system, and last number I heard it was $42 billion, so it's a substantial amount. And they're coming back and saying, here's what we're seeing in the market for this type of litigation or this type of transaction. I approach that kind of market intelligence cautiously because it's obviously skewed by the types of clients who are choosing to use e-billing systems.
Right.
Which is, you might suspect, are insurance companies, financial institutions, pharmaceuticals. So it's slanted, but it's starting to give some information. There's another example is a company called Sky Analytics, which is a startup. And they started on the client side. They're trying to move to the law firm side where they're trying to take, I would say, a broader base or a broader perspective at acquiring market intelligence, but they're just getting going. So that's on one side. So there are the beginnings of market intelligence there. On the solo small firm side, I think that's a lot harder because you have, as you know, you're in California. I used to be in Utah. I'm in Texas now. Each market has its nuances.
Mm-hmm.
Where I would see, I wouldn't call it market intelligence, I'll call it market pressure, are the companies that are, they're selling intelligent forms, we'll call them, the LegalZooms, those sorts of companies. And they're starting to set, market prices for certain types of legal services, if you will. So maybe it's sort of the classic pincer movement where something's coming from the top and the bottom, but it's all, I would say, early stage.
One of the things that I have seen is from the court reporter companies that do bankruptcy court work. And, of course, in the bankruptcy court, as you know, you have to file an application for fees. You can't just have a client pay you your fees. And so they're able to get intelligence that way. But the kind of work that they're doing that I, at least that was my impression, are from the major debtors, the major law firms, and you're talking about per hour rates of $1,000 or so, which I don't yet think is standard in the legal community. Am I right?
Agreed. And there's actually a company that is pursuing that approach. It's called Valeo Partners.
Mm-hmm.
And their core is rates primarily, but in some respects fees, from public databases. They started with bankruptcy, and now they're looking at SEC filings and other things. But you're right, that is more focused on the top end of the market. But they actually have come up with some, I would call it, unique intelligence to where they're able to actually track a specific lawyer and see what their rate has done over a period of time. So they can see the trending that's occurring. But that again, is sort of just a small piece of the market. So another, maybe what the answer to your broader question is, there's bits and pieces everywhere, and you really got to keep your ear to the ground, keep your eyes open, and watch that as it matures.
Well, you say, we're in the earlier stages, and now you're talking about maturity of this aspect, maturity of the profession and so forth. How long do you think it'll take before we get to the point where there's enough information for us to make reasonably intelligent decisions? And, of course, once you get to that point, I think it's almost a commodity.
Well, commodity is a good word to start with. I don't know that, like the one I sort of hedged and said I don't know when or even if certain market pricing will appear. And the reason being is, and I've seen this, I've analyzed at this point in my life thousands of past matters, and people are generally looking for, the magic number for this type of transaction or this type of litigation. what is, they think there's a bell curve and we can peg the fee, we're in the middle of that bell curve. And I don't find bell curves. And I don't find bell curves because litigations settle, 2 months in, 24 months in,
right.
Some litigations go to trial, some don't. And then sometimes the litigation, the client is, it's a competitor and they really want a pound of flesh. Sometimes it's a litigation where they want it to go away fast because they want it off their books. So I don't know for a lot of things that we would see, a clear market price emerge except for the commodity type stuff, like, for instance, patent prosecution.
Mm, okay.
My firm doesn't do much of that, but at prior firms, I was seeing that the market was starting to set basically a per filing and prosecution for a patent. I'm reaching back in my mind, like under $10,000.
So there, it's a question of the relationship, not a question of the pricing. You either had the relationship, and the client would know that your fee was generally about what everybody else was going to charge.
Yeah, and that it's really about the trust that their
right.
patent filing will be handled well.
Yeah, right.
Agreed.
Let me switch a bit and compare our profession with the construction industry. In many cases, we've got what is called a cost-plus agreement to do the work. Is cost-plus something that's tenable for the legal community?
Not anymore. I think those were the old days, and by that I mean prior to 2007. And this, again, you just hit my economist button. A cost-plus model is what we had, where we had essentially the cost plus a profit built into our price.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when we would bill time and clients accepted, the value of the time we were billing. Now they're questioning a lot of that. So now I would say we're in a margin world where, they've even kind of described, even if we're billing by the hour, the client might say, well, the budget for this is X, $1,000. Then our goal is saying we need to contain our cost at a certain level so that we have a healthy profit margin between the cost and the revenue this is going to generate. And I actually think that is an emerging conversation that many law firm partners are starting to engage in. The old days when we were cost plus, the conversation was about hours and revenue. And under the new thinking, it's about revenue and profit. Different conversation, different way of thinking.
What profit, if I can push you a little bit, do you think is reasonable for a lawyer to expect?
Fair question.
Now I know I'm in trouble. If you say that's
yeah.
a fair question,
well,
I'm in trouble.
Well, we've crossed over, into the, I have to be cautious about what I say because of, antitrust and those sorts of things.
We still don't know what the costs are, and that's a whole other question.
Well, we can go real deep into that, but I don't know that we want to. Effectively, a law firm needs to have some sort of profit methodology that mm-hmm. says, here's how we calculate the cost per hour. So that when we have a matter that generates X dollars of revenue, we see these are the hours that it took to generate the revenue and the cost of those hours. And that's a more involved topic, but basically that's what a law firm needs to understand is its cost per hour for delivering services.
Right.
Now, to your question, it's a good question in part, and because law firms, in my opinion, law firms can take one of three ways of approaching profitability. And the one you hear the most about, profits per partner sort of thing, treats all partner compensation as profit. The
mm-hmm.
challenge you have at any professional services firm is that owner compensation, owners are both owners and workers.
Right.
So how do you treat their compensation?
And, of course, with the tax code, they want to get rid of everything before the end of the year.
I assume I think it's the Baucus proposal where they're going to force law firms to go to accrual accounting.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking
well,
about?
Well, I mean, under cash accounting, even the larger firms that I've interacted with, say by the end of the year, you know, we've got to make complete distribution, otherwise it's doubly taxed.
Yeah, and that's a whole other can of worms.
Right.
I understand that bill has legs and it has the potential to pass. So, in fact, I just saw some press on that yesterday.
So getting back to the earlier question with that, you know, I won't interrupt you again. There were three models, you said, in trying to evaluate what a fair profit might be.
Fair percentage. In the model where all partner compensation is profit, I'm going to bet you'll hear, and I'm again picking back into my memory, that the profit of a law firm in that model might be somewhere between 30% to 40% of their revenue.
Okay.
When you look at the sort of AmLaw PPP and you look at how they're you know, treating all partner comp or all capital partner, equity partner, depending on how
right.
the firm calls it, that as profit, that 30% to 40% number has been around for a while.
That's what I learned in law school.
Yep. Then if you take some firms, and I call it the contribution model, they treat all partner compensation as a cost. And what they do is say, is this partner, you know, in my terminology, are they adding to the partnership pie or taking away from it with their work? The challenge you have with a contribution model, and what it is it's contribution means are they contributing to profit or are they taking away from profit with their work? The problem you have if you have a very highly compensated partner is that they're not being compensated a lot because they're a good worker and that their time's worth that much.
Right.
So I'm not a big proponent of that model, although a lot of firms use it. And then there's one model in the middle where a certain portion of partner comp is treated as a cost and another portion is treated as profit. Now, this gets back to your question, why I say it's a fair but it's a challenging question, is that it really depends on the formula. That might have a 10% margin and it might have a 30% margin depending
right.
on how much a partner comp they treat as a cost.
Right.
So if you go back, I think that if you were looking at sort of a market level, I would say that 30 to 40%, if you looked at it on I guess we could call that a gross margin model, that's probably what you would see in the market.
It's interesting because the model that you're talking about of compensation for the lawyer and anything in excess is profit to be divided based on equity interest or some other formula. Is in essence the so-called excess earnings formula that was used and to some degree still is used in divorce court trying to value a law practice and what the non-earning spouse could get. And that's sort of my history, my background, where I said, you know, that was nonsense in trying to evaluate the legitimacy of an award. That you need to look at market value, not a contrite formula. And I really sort of got agitated over that because I didn't believe in the excess earning concept until a judge told me, look, we'll use any formula that's presented to us in order to get to what we really think is fair and equitable under the circumstances. So I became more peaceful. So then the issue is present to the court any evidence that supports your position so that the judge can make the order that you want. You know,
it's funny you present that as a litigator. I would say a big challenge internal to many law firms, and I would say probably well down into the small firm ranks, is all the partners like to litigate. The profit methodology to try to skew it to favor their situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let me ask you a final question, which may or may not relate directly to pricing, but the question is, in layman's terms, I think, not in economist's terms, how do we stay competitive in a field that only recently experienced competition or admits to being competitive?
You know, this will sound somewhat self-serving. Law firms need people like me because people in my role are serving as the catalyst and the strike point for change. You know, I mentioned changing the dialogue from hours and revenue to revenue and profit. That's what I do. And by doing that, I'm causing the partners to have very different conversations internally, and they're focused, you know, number one, on how are we going to serve the client effectively, and, you know, number two, do it in a profitable manner. They're really, it's turning a lot of things upside down. It's, in fact, my job is now expanding into, I'll call it, practice reengineering. And the real goal there is managing the cost of delivery to the same, you know, quality and goals that we've always had. So it's, firms really need to bring in or create, you know, bring in people with my sort of skill or create roles within their own firm and grow their own people into roles like that to where they're embracing different ways of doing it. For the solo small firm market, I think that's a role the Bar Association should really look at filling to help to serve in that. My history at Bar Associations, as you know, I used to be at a Bar Association. I always figured they were the sort of administrative resource, if you will, for the solo small firm market, whereas larger firms hired people.
I agree with you.
A legitimate role.
Yeah, I agree with you. But wouldn't we then get back to, you know, the Bar Association getting involved such that the Bates-Osteen case said they could not get involved?
Well, okay, now this is more self-serving. I've recently published a book with a friend of mine on law firm pricing, and that issue came up, you know, internal to both of our firms, you know, should we be doing something like that? But the book is not about here's a price that we think is fair for X type of service. It's about how.
Okay.
How do you do this? How do you effectively, you know, what's involved in a pricing role? What sort of skills does somebody need? You know, how do they function within a firm? How do you go about finding one or building one? So it's not about, it's not going down that rate schedule that you refer to.
Okay, Toby. Okay. As a final a commentary, I want you to tell us the name of the book and who the two authors are, because I want our folks to know and to buy that book.
It is called Law Firm Pricing, Strategies, Roles, and Responsibilities, and the authors are myself, Toby Brown, and Vincent Cordo, who is a colleague of mine at Reed Smith. It's published by managing partner in association with Art Group.
Okay. What's the price of it?
I'll offer this up. I'm trying to remember the price right now, but what I'll offer up is if anyone listening to this would like to get a discount, I can acquire a code. I believe the price of the publication is $295, and I can acquire a code to get a discount off of that. And I should have one in hand, but it's only been recently published. So if someone reaches out to you and you want to hand them off to me, I'll get them that code and they get a discount on it.
What I can do, if you'd like, and we can talk about this offline, is put that code into your bio when this interview goes up onto our website. But I'll leave that to you.
That's a great idea.
Toby, thank you very much for joining us. This is a conversation that I think needs to be repeated, and the process, the economics of it, and the process of it needs to be understood, learned by all lawyers as we, to use your phrase, reengineer the legal profession. Again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks again for having me, Ed.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz Podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.